You are listening to a financial show.
That is not advice.
That's not advice. Not advice.
What's a rip?
A rip, commission. That's why we work here.
Any huge rips?
No, I don't. I still don't know how it works.
But you and me, the brokers, we're taking home cold hard cash via commission.
Right.
No matter whether our clients make money or lose money, the Duke and Duke get the commissions.
The only thing we don't know is your fee.
My fee is the free market. And you're part of it. Yeah.
This isn't advice, and I am not an expert. This is a chapter in my open journal reflecting the path I have taken and where I want to go in my financial education. This financial show is not advice, and liquidity is king and equity is invaluable. My name is Chris, and today we have a special guest, Nick McCollum of Passive Portfolio Management. It has almost been 10 months since we've had a guest join us on air, and since that time, a lot has changed, including the market landscape. One car company, now based out of Austin, is worth more than the entire auto industry combined. A property share company is worth more than two of the top hotel companies combined. And I could see some credence in that, too, as organizations that emerge from COVID, social distancing will likely advise against as many business trips that were made before COVID. But today, we wanted to bring on Nick McCollum, of passive investing, which is a portfolio management tool for self-directed investors. Welcome to the show, Nick.
Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining. And so, please tell me a little bit about your background as an investor, as well as with passive portfolio management.
Yeah, so I've been involved in professional investment management in some capacity for my entire career. I started out working for a large mutual fund provider here in Canada. Then I worked for an active investment research firm down in Houston, Texas. And now I'm one of the team members at Passive. I'm the director of growth here. And Passive, to understand kind of what we do now, probably the best place to start is to understand the problem that we're trying to solve. So many investors have a target asset allocation that they'd like to be invested in, but keeping track of whether or not they're on pace to match that allocation can be kind of hard. A lot of investors resort to complicated spreadsheets and lots of math kind of in Microsoft Excel. But the problem with that is that even though it allows you to tell what trades you need to make, you still need to go to your brokerage account and input those trades one by one. So that can result in a lot of complexity and discourage investors from getting started on the path of DIY investing. The original prototype of Passive came from one of our co-founders experiencing exactly that problem. So our co-founder, Brendan, he had, you know, his retirement account that he wanted to manage. He was trying to help manage his wife's retirement account. And then he had a couple of education accounts that he wanted to manage for his kids. So the problem with that is that he had all of these different accounts and all these different target allocations that were different for each account. And keeping track of all of that inside of a spreadsheet became more and more difficult. So the original prototype of Passive was a Python script that connected to his brokerage account, read his holdings, and did the complicated calculations that are necessary to tell him what he needed to buy or sell to stay on track. Today, Passive has really built on that concept, and what we do now is a lot more than that. So users who use Passive today, they log in, they create a Passive account, they pair that Passive account to their brokerage account, and then they set a target portfolio. Once they've specified their target portfolio, Passive does all of the calculations required for them to rebalance with one click. So we send the trades off to your brokerage, they get executed, and with the click of one button, you're completely allocated in your target portfolio. Passive then monitors your account every day to see if you've drifted from your target portfolio. And if you need to log in again to make another one-click trade rebalance, then we'll send you an email to let you know. So that's kind of like a broad summary of my investing journey and what we do now. And I'm happy to talk more about any specific component of that if you'd like.
Well, thank you for that background on how arriving at Passive, as it sounds like that kind of originates from the exact reason that made me more of an active investor myself, is just looking where my money goes and how it's allocated and making sure I have that correct balance. I know that with those brokerage accounts that Passive could run with TD Ameritrade and Interactive Brokers and Quest Trades, are there any new brokerages or brokerages that aren't lit? Is this software compatible with all brokerage software, or is it only very specific partnerships that somebody can engage with?
We're always working to expand the number of brokerages we work with. Right now we have a partnership with Questrade here in Canada, and then down in the United States, we have integrations with TD Ameritrade, Interactive Brokers, Tradier, and Alpaca.
Okay. And so how does this software differ from the type of allocation settings that TD Ameritrade has internally in their programming?
Passive offers a lot of functionality that you wouldn't be able to get at one specific brokerage. One clear example is that, let's say you're a sophisticated investor and you have some money at multiple different brokerages, like you have some money invested at TD Ameritrade and you have other money invested at Interactive Brokers. Passive would allow you to connect to both of those brokerage accounts and provide a centralized dashboard where you could manage all of your money in one place. So that's one thing. Another thing is that Passive allows you to do this one-click trade rebalancing that a lot of our users really like. So as far as we know, there's not too many solutions like that in the brokerage space. And with our email notifications and everything else that we've built to make the product user-friendly, I really think that Passive kind of provides one of the more simple ways for you to manage your money in a balanced portfolio for the long run.
Okay. And so there's been a lot of changes in these last couple of years, especially with commission-free brokerage accounts. How has that impacted the passive investor in the technical term of passive and not just software? Where do you see that impact? Is that a positive or negative for the general market?
I would say one of the things that a lot of people confuse about brokerages is that free trade mean that they're not paying anything. But brokerages have to make money somehow, right? They're a business, they have employees to pay for. So to the extent that they might offer free trades, well, those brokerages that do offer free trades, they're making money in other ways, whether it's, selling your trade information or something else. So free trades are, on the surface seem quite good, but I don't think they're all they're cracked up to be honest with you.
Oh, and so that is something that's not highlighted much, especially go into Wall Street Bets, Reddit, or anything like that. Could you elaborate on that point of how those brokerages make their money when it's free trades outside of just selling information? What are things that might not be known to an average investor?
Well, this is certainly like outside of my wheelhouse. I've never worked for a brokerage, so I'm not super, super familiar with exactly the mechanics of how it works. But I would say a few things that come to mind would be, I guess, the sale of information, like I mentioned, and then also securities lending. So if you own stocks in your portfolio and a short seller needs to borrow those to sell them short, then the brokerage, if that revenue is not hitting your account, then the brokerage is pocketing you as a middleman.
Okay. Well, thank you for elaborating on that. And so you touched on a little of your education starting out in the Houston area. That's actually where the show is hosted from. Do you have a degree in finance, or how did you get started in your investment journey?
When I first went to college, I was studying biology with the end goal of potentially becoming a medical doctor. It only took me a few classes of biology to realize this wasn't something I was particularly passionate about. I think the human body is definitely interesting, but one of the things that they don't tell you about being a doctor is that you have to suffer through all these other courses on like plant physiology and mammal taxonomy and lots of other less interesting things. So I was at university, I didn't particularly love the biology courses that I was studying. So I went to my academic advisor and I said, is there anything that I can switch into that will still allow me to graduate on time? Because I don't want to have to spend any extra time at university than what I have to. So they kind of took a look at my transcript and which courses I had already taken. And they said, well, have you ever considered doing a math degree? I had always liked math and I was relatively good at it. So I switched into math. And then it turns out that a lot of the good internships and summer jobs for math majors are in the field of finance. So I kind of fell into finance. It wasn't something I was particularly looking for, but I got my first summer internship at a bank's mutual fund department doing fund accounting and investment research for them. And that was a really cool opportunity for me because in this one mutual fund office, which probably had something like 500 employees, they ran all kinds of different investment strategies. So there was a fundamental equities group, there was fixed income groups, there was synthetics, derivatives, everything you can imagine all in one office. And that office also had a very strong culture of mentorship. So with one email, I could potentially meet up with people who are experts in many different subsets of the investing arena. And that really kind of piqued my interest about investing. I guess I've been addicted ever since.
It's easy to get that bug when it happens that way. So with that investing, where did the engagement and programming come in? I understand you have a background in a little computer science, especially with the Python script and writing that. How did that engagement and computer sciences start?
When I started working professionally in finance, I realized that a lot of finance is kind of repeatable tasks typically done in spreadsheets. So, you know, one example would be at an old job, I had to update this database of stocks along with a bunch of specific metrics about those stocks. So that was kind of involved a lot of, you know, manual labor in Excel, or what we used to call Microsoft Excel Kung Fu. So I'd be in there doing all these manipulations on spreadsheets, and it was the same stuff. It had to be done weekly, or so certain things had to be done monthly. So I kind of looked at this and I said, dang, this seems like something that could be really easily automated away. And seemed like with a little bit of software development expertise, I could really save us some time. So I kind of got the green light from my employer to invest some time and they paid for some courses for me to learn how to code. And man, the returns from that have been tremendous. Having the ability to just do a little bit of programming finance is super, super valuable. But to summarize, it was definitely just something I learned on the job as a solution to real problems that I was having.
And as new people are coming into the industry and learning how to manipulate and building pivot tables and programming, are there any places that you advise somebody should start with their interests in learning computer language?
The place that I learned how to code originally is a 501c3 non-for-profit down in the U.S. called Free Code Camp. And Free Code Camp, I think, is a great place to start because it's highly interactive. So the way that Free Code Camp works is it's kind of like a challenge-based environment where it gives you a little prompt. You have to answer the prompt, and then you go through those just little step-by-step, and it builds your incremental knowledge over time. It's highly interactive, and I think it's probably, from what I've seen, probably the best place to code that I've seen on the internet. It's also completely free, so you'll never pay a dime learning to code on Free Code Camp.
And so one of the things, always looking for advice to share with listeners, if you could recommend one book, and it could be on any topic, any subject, what book would that be to a random person you're sitting on an airplane with or talking to on air?
I'm a big fan of the book The Warren Buffett Way by Robert Hagstrom. That book provides case studies of Warren Buffett's investment career and kind of shows you how he's invested his money over time. Many people know that Warren Buffett's the kind of one of the greatest investors who's ever lived. He's got a track record that is kind of inarguably head and shoulders above the rest. But what I really like about this book is the amount of investigative journalism that goes into it. It really talks about how exactly Warren Buffett found these deals that he invested in. And it's just a really good book if you want to learn about the ins and outs of long-term fundamental value investing.
Okay. And so did you start with that focus as a Warren Buffett investor and then expand to investing in certain sectors? How does that strategy directly influence your investing habits?
Well, I think Warren Buffett has lots of philosophies and teachings and lessons that you can learn from without necessarily being a pure play value investor. So, if you just look at Warren Buffett's advice for most investors, he tells them, don't do what I do. Go buy the S&P 500 index fund, because that's kind of like the best way to be guaranteed a pretty good result. So, but I would say, yeah, definitely at the start of my career, I had a big focus on picking individual stocks. I really wanted to do deep research into the companies that I owned and try to figure out the source of their competitive advantage and their future growth prospects. So that was like how I started out. As I progressed through time, I realized that while the markets are an interesting place and you can learn a lot from studying the markets and doing that kind of thing, I also realized that it wasn't really the most productive use of my time, and I was better off, you know, learning to code and doing real kind of like job-based activities. So over time, I've kind of transitioned from spending more time on the markets to spending less time on the markets and investing more in like a passive investment philosophy. So right now, the majority of my net worth, if you will, is invested in passive index ETFs.
Okay. And kind of back to the program with passive, how do people learn more about passive?
Passive, if you want to check out our software to help manage your investment portfolio, you can go to our website. It's passive.com, P-A-S-S-I-V.com. There's no E on the end of passive. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle is @PassiveTeam. And if you want a demo of the software, or if you have any questions about how it works or like what our use cases are, feel free to send me an email. My email is nick.mccullum@passive.com. I'd love to hear from you.
Well, that's fantastic. You've shared so much information that I think people are going to find so much value in. As everybody's journey is a little bit different, it seems like everybody arrives at a similar place of focusing on individual stocks and trying to understand them and building it piece by piece, to focusing on their portfolio holistically to make sure that it's invested and balanced correctly. Before we go, I know in emails we had a discussion that there's two Nicks at the company, and then it seems like there's also two Brendans. Is that a hiring philosophy at Passive? That you get paired up with somebody with the same name?
Yeah, it's funny. So there's actually only one Nick at Passive, but there are three Brendans. And it's funny because the first three employees at Passive were all named Brendan. So that was definitely like an ongoing joke that, you know, you had to be named Brendan to work at Passive. But yeah, it's kind of a funny coincidence.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you for joining us today. As we continue to do this and provide resources for people that are joining, one additional question that we've received some interest are, what do you see in the difference in investing based outside of the U.S. and Canada versus investing in the U.S. proper?
I would say probably the biggest difference that immediately comes to mind is the whole idea of home country bias. So home country bias is just the tendency for investors to just put more of their net worth inside of their home country than what's reflected in like the global market portfolio. So if you look at like the percent of U.S. stocks versus the percent of total stocks in the world weighted by market capitalization, I think the U.S. is like 50 or 60% of the total global market cap, but most U.S. investors have like 99 or 100% of their wealth inside the U.S. In other countries, that effect is not as pronounced because I think other countries have a more realistic interpretation of how large their country is relative to the rest of the world. So home country bias, I think, is just really pronounced in the United States, and that's not something you see as much elsewhere.
And what tools do you find most valuable to avoid that home country bias?
Well, I wouldn't say there's like specific tools that I use to help me with that, but instead what I would say is you need to just go look at the data and create a portfolio that's representative of what the global market portfolio is. So if you just look up global country market caps by country and benchmark your portfolio to that, you're kind of guaranteed to get the average result of what the global stock market is doing at any given time.
Okay. And is that type of programming recommendations included in the Passive software?
No, it's not. The Passive software does not provide any sort of investment advice. Okay. In order to use Passive, I guess you have to self-educate a little bit and decide what you want to be invested in. And then once you've done that, Passive is probably one of the easiest places to invest your money and make sure that it's on track for the long run.
Absolutely. Well, thank you again for joining the show, and thank you for finding the show and reaching out to us. We're always interested in learning additional perspectives and sharing your background, your growth, and how Passive could benefit every investor that engages with it and is looking to maintain that balance, as it's easy to look up and once dividends are deployed, kind of unbalance the book. I think this is a tool that certainly I'm going to share with my own family and friends, and I hope that all the listeners also share it, or at least go to the website and look at it more for that opportunity and see if it could be a tool that could be used for yourself. But before you go, were there any additional words you'd like to leave with the audience?
Yeah, just I guess one last time, if you want to check out our investing software, check us out at passive.com. That's PASSIV.com. And if you want a demo, feel free to send me an email, nick.mccullum@passive.com. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you, Nick, for joining. I'll cut the show there. I really appreciate you joining, especially being that flexibility with your schedule, learning much, especially with that home country bias. That's not something I looked into at all as an investor, but I'm relatively new on this journey despite having a long-term portfolio. So that's definitely something I'm going to focus on in the next quarter myself. So thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, it's a pleasure. And thanks again for having me on and being willing to spread the word about passive.
The opinions expressed on the show do not reflect the thoughts of our respective employers, family, or podcast network. We are not licensed by the FTC or SEC. Before acting on information on the website or from the show, you should consider whether it's suitable for your particular circumstance and seek advice from your own financial or investment advisor.